sir, we promised you a great man. Andre!
The WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running last!
My God, what a...
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest at this time, Heel Rosenberg.
Thank you very much, SGG. I just want to take a moment to address the Cheap Heat universe about a lot of things that happened on this show last week. And frankly, I want to apologize. I said a lot on this show, and I know there are a lot of people who were hurt and offended and upset with me. And to those people, I sincerely apologize. I just want to apologize that, you know, it took me this long to point out you fat, out of shape, no life, lonely losers for who you really are. Let me guess. Your weekend was tremendous. Because you went on a date? No. Because you accomplished something in your career? No. Because a real life friend dialed your phone number? No. Greg, the reason these people had a great weekend is because Chris Jericho's going to have a match with Kenny Omega. Oh, joy. Oh, what a joy. What a joy. Two other people are going to do something special. And you're going to stay up till 6 in the morning so you can stream on your computer.
Oh my God. Kenny Omega versus Jericho. Can you believe it? Hashtag a dream come true. Hashtag WrestleCon. Hashtag WrestleNerd. Hashtag Wrestling. Hashtag Wrestling. Wrestle Kingdom's the best.
But what did you accomplish? Nothing. Nothing. Listen, be excited. Be very excited. And all the people out there who listen to this show, who are hashtag with a life, are still excited about that match. And they should be. And when that day comes, they'll take a break from taking care of their children, their spouse, their high-paying job. Maybe not even high-paying, just a good, solid, hard-working career. They'll take a break from it. And they'll relax a little bit and they'll watch a good wrestling show and go, that was good. And they'll move on. But not you. Not you losers. Not you losers who are not hashtag with a life. It'll be another day.
Oh, I wonder what Kenny Omega's going to do next. Who will he challenge after Wrestle Kingdom?
Shut up! So that's who I'd like to apologize to, Greg. I want to apologize to the people.
Those listeners, hashtag with a life.
I want to, exactly. The listeners who are hashtag with a life, that's who I'm apologizing to because I was worrying before, Greg. I used to worry about why do they all like Sam more than me? Why do they all say that I suck so bad? I forgot. It's because I'm hashtag with a life, you know? And by the way, not that Sam is a fraud. Because my buddy Sam Roberts is also with a life, but he has a brand that speaks to those losers. And they go, oh, he's just like me. No, he's not. Sam has a life. He has a job. He has a wife. He has a child. He has a new home, a lavish studio. He's just pretending to be an IWC loser. And guess what I'm not going to do, Greg? I'm not going to pretend anymore. I'm not going to be hanging out backstage, living the dream at WWE with all my coworkers, all the people there who have come to think of as friends. I'm not going to be sitting there being like, oh, but what will the IWC think of me if I say that? I'm going to start just saying the truth, Greg. I've been freed. The truth has set me free. And I'm so happy now that everything's out in the open. I'm not one of them, Greg. I was a secret agent. I always loved wrestling, but I was always hashtag with a life. And that's why I'm here to announce that Survivor Series weekend, I will be in the Houston area, of course, for Survivor Series. And I may make an appearance, have not decided the location yet, for all our Houston Peckerheads. However, you can only come to this appearance if you're with a life. If you're not with a life, don't come. As a matter of fact, I'd prefer if you came not only with a life, but with a wife. Proof of life. Bring proof of life. I want to see a picture of a wife, of a child, of a husband, of a baby, maybe a pay stub, Greg. Maybe they can bring a pay stub. But if all you can bring for me is your subscription to PW Torch, that ain't getting you in. See you in Houston.
Whoa.
Wow. Greg, wow. Are you ready to start cheap eat or what? I mean, whoa. In what was already a big week, you thought we couldn't have any more news. We have a huge title change to discuss that happened yesterday. We do have the internet.
Another title change to discuss from Monday.
That's right. Title change from Monday. Two title changes in the UK this week, as well as the news. And we'll start there. Let's start outside the WWE, Greg. Do you think the biggest news outside the WWE was obviously Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 12 in January at the Tokyo Dome?
Yeah, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. And I'm not going to lie, I'm interested in this match.
As you should be. How excited are you, Greg?
On like a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah, sure.
I'm like a solid 8.
Okay. Now listen. I know what you're waiting for, SGG. You're waiting for me to clarify my comments from the weekend. When I tweeted, you know what? I decided I'm not going to pretend to be excited about Jericho Omega. Let me just clarify. It's going to be a great match. I will watch it on replay. I will see it at some point, and I look forward to seeing it. I just felt the response that was super cool to see because, listen, good for New Japan. Love seeing people get that excited. So I'm all for it. But honestly,
So you were just trying to balance out the response then.
Well, let's just not pretend.
So many people went in hot on one end that you just came in on the other end to just be like, let's relax and
Settle in here. Let's all settle down and remember, Chris Jericho's a first ballot Hall of Famer, amazing superstar. But this is not Chris Jericho of 2000. It's not even Chris Jericho of 2004. It's not even Chris Jericho of 2008. It's not even Chris Jericho of 2012. It's Chris Jericho of what will then be 2018. And
it's still Chris Jericho, though, and he can still go at a high level.
Yes. He's Chris Jericho. He'll never lose the ability to have a great wrestling match. Of course, he's an amazing talent. I'm just saying, I don't know. Everything you say in regards like this is just like, looks like you're just like looking for heat or to have a problem with someone instead of being just critical as a fan. But as a fan, I think Chris Jericho's best work is all on mic right now. You know, like, I think the stuff he did with the Festival of Friendship was brilliant, but it wasn't based around the wrestling part. I don't know. It makes me feel like a hater to even say it, but I just haven't been in love with his matches for a little while. So while it was super exciting, we acted as if there aren't a lot of other matches out there which would be more exciting for Omega to get if he was to simply go to WWE.
Right. That leads me to my next question for you, which is, if this match were announced for WrestleMania and not Wrestle Kingdom, does that move your excitement level up a little bit?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, of course it would mean more. As much as the Tokyo Dome means, and everyone on the internet can pretend that for them it means the biggest thing ever, when really it only means that much if you're Japanese or a wrestler yourself who had aspirations of doing it. I don't think the American fan really, on average, appreciates the Tokyo Dome moment the way actual wrestlers do and Japanese fans do. But, yeah, that would have helped a little bit. But honestly, do you want to go through the locker room and talk about how many other people that you probably would have popped more to find out Kenny Omega was having a match with? Isn't Jericho the expect? If there was going to be one to expect, wouldn't it have been Jericho?
I agree with you, though. I agree with you on all of that, not going to lie.
It's not a huge diss, by the way.
No, it's not. I'm more excited than you are to see the match, probably. But I do think that if it was announced for WrestleMania, it'd be a bigger deal than it being announced for Wrestle Kingdom. And I do think there are other people on the roster who I think Kenny Omega could have probably a better match with.
Probably.
Actually, I will say definitely a better match with.
Yes.
But I'll leave that, you know, I say probably, and I'm tentative about it because we haven't exactly seen what they do together, Jericho and Kenny Omega.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. We don't know. And Jericho works well with everyone. So Jericho will absolutely put on a good match. I mean, listen, he's Chris Jericho. I'm never implying that the guy can't be unbelievable in the ring. I'm just saying, to me, for the last few years in ring, he hasn't felt the same. Listen, it catches up with you. No one wrestles the same. Almost no one goes back and is like, oh, those matches I had when I was like pushing 50 were as good as my matches when I was 29. Real quick, hold on. Hey Siri, how old is Chris Jericho?
You'll need to unlock your iPhone first.
Okay. Siri?
I don't know Chris Jericho's age.
Whoa.
She doesn't know Chris Jericho.
She doesn't know Chris Jericho's age. Let's see, that's very...
Does Siri know Chris Jericho?
Let's try, because that would be very damning for this whole match. Hold on.
And it's funny you should ask, actually. According to Wikipedia, Chris Jericho turns 47 tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday. I'm not going to be his favorite right now, but happy birthday. I already don't think I was. Frankly, I think Chris Jericho already buried us once, buried this podcast before, and thinks that we're hacks. So he shouldn't care about my opinion, but also it's not a really bold
opinion.
But
he will.
Siri, who is Chris Jericho?
You have a cross section.
You'll need to unlock your iPhone.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, here's contact information for Chris.
No, I don't want the contact information. Oh, forget it. This is ridiculous. Siri, how old is Kenny Omega? Well, you know what, Siri? You're a loser. I hate Siri. Anyways.
She's fired.
Yeah, no one at 47 years old is the same as someone at 32. I mean, come on, man. Some of the all-time greats. That would be an interesting conversation, Greg. I mean, if only we had someone whose job was statistics to dig up the best matches after the age of 45. Was Hogan over 45 against The Rock?
No, I don't think so.
What year was Hogan Rock? That was 18, correct?
Yes.
And we're at 30, that's 16 years ago?
Yep.
Yeah, Hulk's not 70. Wait, no, that would be 60. Hold on. He may have been over 45.
He might have been.
Hulk Hogan is 6'7".
And 303 pounds.
And he's 64. So, yeah, he was over 45. Barely.
If there's one, that is the one. But it wasn't because of stellar ring work, though.
It wasn't like he was unbelievable in the ring. It wouldn't have been the same thing if it had been Hogan versus Kenny Omega.
Right, because then you can throw in Ricky Steamboat and Chris Jericho in there, right? Because Ricky Steamboat was definitely over.
Oh yeah, he was. And listen,
over 40, 50.
And Flair had some damn good matches post 45 as well. But Flair worked a different style. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, I feel Flair's style was much more conducive to aging in the ring. You know, I mean, listen, Jericho, I guess, also is changing and will continue to change as he continues to work. You know, listen, Jordan developed a fadeaway. I mean, Chris Jericho ain't Jordan, but he's very good.
And that was the next, that was definitely the follow-up question. Like, is Chris Jericho Jordan?
No, no. Actually, where does Chris Jericho belong in all-time rankings is an interesting question.
I don't think he gets his proper placement because he's still active. And when he was active, he was around, like, megastars.
Yeah, he had a tough, he has a tough spot because he was never, he couldn't ever be the best in the business at the time, or at least the most over in the business at the time. That was never possible based on right. who was around him. You know, but listen, Big Boy spent an entire career rapping next to Andre 3000, but Big Boy's still a hell of a rapper. One of the best. And I would feel the same way about Jericho. Jericho was not Andre 3000, but he was always damn good.
Right. But yeah, that's a tough question. Like, where do you put him? I mean, I wouldn't fault anybody for putting him in the top 10.
Where would you put him? And we already know you're insane. So where would you put him, SGG?
Top 20 for sure.
Top 20.
I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting conversation. I think that's the starting point of, because we don't talk about that enough. We always talk about people in the top 10. We don't spend enough time talking about who makes the top 20, who's an 11 to 20, even top 30. Because really, it's a, I mean, if you really look at the lexicon of all-time wrestlers, you realize how many people there are?
Yeah, it's, because just from an era, you can put together a top 10 from an era.
Yeah.
And then, like, when you start to blend the eras, then people who would have made that top 10 just fall out the top 10, like that.
Well, and that's the thing also, like, you have people from different eras who I believe will, like, are better wrestlers than other people, and I love them way more, but, like, they weren't nearly as popular because the role that they played in the era that they played, it's just like Davey Boy Smith isn't making anybody's, I don't think Davey Boy Smith's making anyone's top 20.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Davey Boy Smith, maybe you're looking at a top 50, but in terms of how dope he was in ring, and even at times, I mean, super over as a tag team, super over as a singles guy when he was like the IC kind of guy. You know, not, I'm not talking about the jean shorts late Davey Boy. I'm talking about prime Wembley Stadium, you know, 1992 Davey Boy.
With the braids.
Oh, yeah.
Braids and the beads.
The only white man to ever pull off braids and beads and never get accused of cultural appropriation. That's how over Davey Boy Smith was. No one cared.
It didn't look weird at all.
I know. How did it not look weird?
That's the crazy part.
How did it not look weird that Davey Boy Smith had braids? This is something we will ask forever and never know. Anyways, so that's a big story, though. And listen, I am being a bit of a contrarian intentionally. It's very cool that it's happening. I'm just giving my honest reaction. Wake me up when Kenny Omega comes to WWE. Call me a shill if you want. But listen, and by the way, I mean this so much. I don't care what anyone says. This is the world we live in. You only mean so much when you do it everywhere but WWE. I'm sorry. It's true. Yeah,
and I mean, I agree with you on that one, too. Like, you know, Kenny Omega is huge on the internet, right? Huge. But you only begin, like, being huge on the internet and huge in the wrestling world doesn't make you huge in the world. Like, Kenny Omega can still walk down the street and, like, the average person won't even look and be like, that guy looks familiar. You know what I mean?
Oh, even Kenny Omega lives days every single day in America where no one knows who he is. That happens all the time.
Right. And even like your average WWE superstar will get like a second glance and be like, who is that? Like, if, you know, this, you only begin to transcend the wrestling world from WWE. Like, it's messed up to say, and it sounds like we're shilling. Not Dave Schilling, but you know what I mean. But it's true. Like, you only begin to hop off into the next stratosphere.
Well, and for example, I watch, Greg, I happened to watch New Japan last week on the DVR. I hadn't watched it in a minute. And, like, you watch incredible wrestling. But, like, how can you really compare that? Yeah, I understand how wrestlers compare it because they're so into the art form of just in-ring wrestling. But in terms of the product that we consume in America on a week-to-week, how can you compare stories when you don't understand promos? You don't even, the audience doesn't know what Kenny Omega's saying. What your character's able to pull off in Japan is so much more based on wrestling than it is the intangibles. And for that, I understand why there are purists who love it. They're like, that's why it's all about that. It's not about anything else. But of course, I have more respect for the Japanese fan than probably any fan in wrestling. But at the same time, when you're an American trying to judge it and you're telling me about how amazing it is, you can't tell me it's guaranteed to translate. And believe me, dude, I called Kenny Omega matches on the indies a decade ago. So I would be thrilled to see Kenny Omega become a huge star in WWE. But you can't tell me that someone is truly able to look back at their career and go, they were the number one guy in the business if they weren't in WWE. You could say say Kenny Omega was the best wrestler in the world, but you can't say he's the number one guy in the business unless you're dealing with the company that does the big business.
And to not to discredit Kenny Omega, but like, you know, we're talking about a guy who has never won the big one anywhere he's been either. You know what I mean? And as much as this is a worked business, like, if you think those guys don't want to win a world championship, then you're kidding. You're crazy. Like, they want one somewhere. They'll take one anywhere just to say that they've been, like, the top guy in a company. So he can't be the number one guy in the business if he was never even the number one guy in New Japan or, like, anywhere on the indies. And like you said, best wrestler in the world. Yeah. Incredible talent. Yeah. He's having a hell of a 2017. But that doesn't take away from any of the points that you made, I don't think.
Let's see. Championships and accomplishments. He in the Canadian Wrestling Federation, heavyweight champion one time. Jersey All-Pro, heavyweight championship one time. Again, we're not at the same level yet, even though shout out to Jersey All-Pro. New Japan, IC championship. Junior Heavyweight Championship, Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships, United States Heavyweight Championship, IWGP U.S. Heavyweight Championship Tournament. Never was that guy. ROH, Six-Man Tag Team Championship, currently. Damn, that's very interesting. In fact, it basically makes the argument for me. You just saved me a lot of time. I'm sorry. I mean, and by the way, this is going to sound like, to the people who want to hear what they want to hear, to the people who are not hashtag with a life, that I want to hate on Kenny Omega. The opposite. I think he's amazing. And guess what? I knew of Kenny Omega 5 years before you did. So before you get mad at me, know that I was sitting in a room with 300, 400 people calling a Kenny Omega match and thought he was awesome then. So quite the opposite. I'm completely rooting for him. But even if PWI says you're the guy, come on, man. He needs to take that step. And so I want to know, do we know what the deal is and why he doesn't want to go to WWE?
He was there before. He had a developmental deal. I think, I want to say he was in OVW or one of those. It was way before NXT. And he hated it. Like, he wanted out. So I don't know if that's why he's not gonna go back or what it is, but he's not a fan.
Well, that's part of it too, though.
Time and development.
That's honestly part of being the guy. This is going to be a lot. This is going to be hard. Get a lot of hate for this. Part of being the guy in whatever your field is the ability to still be the guy when dealing with the constraints of the big time. So when I'm talking about the best MCs and cats hit me with Chino XL or Razzcast, people who I utterly respect as MCs, utterly and completely respect their craft. You can't put them in the conversation of greatest if you haven't been able to succeed under the constraints of the biggest spotlight imaginable. That's part of what it is. Don't compare me to someone who simply has a popular podcast if they haven't been able to draw ratings in the mainstream, everyday, appealing to everyone world. That means you could be brilliant at your craft, but you're not the guy. And I want to see Kenny Omega, someone who's just talked about as Kenny Omega. Guys, we've gotten AJ Styles to WWE. You've got Kevin Owens to WWE. You have Nakamura in WWE. You have all these just indie darlings. And maybe they'll look back at the end and go, honestly, WWE is not my favorite time wrestling. My favorite time was when I was able to literally just go out there and do whatever I wanted to do. But it'll be the time that truly puts them in an iconic space. So anyways, we've ranted on this long enough, but it was a very big story. And I, by the way, Omega Coat goes to WWE at some point. He's going to, as he gets older, he's getting there. He's going to figure it out. Like, A, I want the money, and B, I want the true recognition. And frankly, I want the challenge. I want the challenge of seeing that you can do it.
I think that's the big one. I think that's the one that he would want. He'd want the challenge and like.
And if you don't want the challenge, you don't deserve to be considered the best. If you don't want that challenge, you are not the best. AJ Styles wanted to go. We all knew how dope AJ Styles was. And what do we all think? There can't be a person out there watching, listening, who watched TNA and thought, man, I really want to see what it looks like to see AJ Styles on the real stage. And speaking of which, congratulations, AJ Styles, your two-time WWE champion. Do not ask me why WWE leaks the results of shows that don't air until later, because I don't understand.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, they're getting ahead of the internet, honestly, and it's a taped show. Somebody is going to have the spoilers, and they've done it before, too. Like, they've been doing it. I remember, I think Edge cashed in the Money in the Bank one time, and it was on a tape-delayed SmackDown. It wasn't going to air for another two days, and I remember hearing about it from WWE.com.
No, that's a good point. I mean, they have done that. A couple of people spoiled it for me, and I just don't. I mean, we have to give the biggest gas face possible. Actually, you know what? I'll tell you who's going to get the gas face in 1 second. And gas face, by the way, for people younger than 35, is a term meaning I'm going to tell you someone who gets the stink face, you know, who gets the opposite of props in 1 second. But first, we'll be back with more Cheap Heat in literally 60 seconds. But right now, let me tell you, you've heard us talking about Dollar Shave Club before, especially this Dr. Carver Shave Butter. Well, I'm here to tell you to never give up your membership. Dollar Shave Club makes products for your hair, your face, your skin, shower, everything you need. It's all their own. It's all original. It's all premium ingredients. No more annoying trips to the store, cruising up and down the aisles, trying to figure out what to get, going, what in the hell is that? What is this? No, use Dollar Shave Club for almost everything. Razors, body cleanser, hair gel, and yes, Greg's favorite, butt wipes. That's right. The butt wipe. Actually, I'm a big fan as well. I stay with the wipes in the bathroom to keep yourself cleany clean. Okay, Dollar Shave Club has it all. And now a great time to give Dollar Shave Club a try. You can get your first month of their best razor along with travel size versions of that shave butter, the body cleanser, and yes, Greg's favorite, the butt wipes, for just $5. Okay? After that, replacement cartridges ship for just a few bucks a month. It's the DSC Starter Set. Go get yours for just $5, exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/heat. dollarshaveclub.com/heat. Now for the gas face. Well, that would go to Andrew Goldstein. Fortunately for Dipperstein, he's been fully and completely checked out of Jew World Order, our group chat, for the last couple weeks. He's been too far behind. But out of the blue yesterday, with no warning, Goldstein just jumps in the group chat and says, I'm really happy for AJ, but bummed for Jinder. Comma afterwards, or parentheses, spoiler alert.
Yeah, that was the part. That was the part that made me laugh.
Now, did you already know, Greg?
Yeah, I had already had it spoiled for me too. But I don't mind spoilers so much because to me, like, it's still in the execution. Like, you hear something's gonna happen, and then it's like you want to see how they do it. And I understand that I'm in the minority with that. But I'm just like a Penn and Teller fan, and that's the way they do it. They tell you the trick, and then they tell you what they're going to do, and then they do it, and you're still amazed watching it. So, like, I didn't really mind it, but that's what made me laugh was when he put the spoiler alert.
I know, like, really?
So you had to read the spoiler to get to
the spoiler alert. That's not how it's supposed to work. By the way, I spent this whole first 30 minutes of the show without giving a shout out to everyone. Greg, do you know how many ratings we got last week after I asked for ratings?
No, I do not.
We got, let me see what the number is right now, because it was so incredible. How many people, first of all, I don't know about you. I don't know if it all came to me because of the rant last week. Did you get an obscene amount of tweets after Cheap Heat last week?
No, I think it really all went to you.
Well, deserving if I do say so myself. Oh my gosh, we're now over 2,000 ratings, Greg. Before last week's show, we were in the high 1,600s.
Yeah, I remember that because we had a slight bump when we tried to give away those video games.
Yeah, and we only ended up giving away, by the way, we got to send those. I still need to give you the video games. Don't worry, winner. You have his name info, right?
I do.
All right. You guys are getting your video games. You too, Greg. You're going to get 2K18. I got it. But yeah, we were in the high 1600s. We got over 300 some ratings last week. So that's really, really cool of everyone to do that and leave reviews. Like, that's just really cool that everyone went out and did that. So props to everyone.
I'm sure some haters slipped in there, but you know what? The love overpowered the hate.
There probably are haters, but guess what? Now there's too many ratings for me to even see them. So I'll have to really go digging. So if you want to support this week, since you already gave us a rating, I would suggest you support your boy Heel Rosenberg and go subscribe to Rosenberg Radio, my new podcast that I put up on iTunes, SGG. SGG, are you a subscriber?
I am a subscriber. I'm a listener.
You're a listener?
Yeah. So far, my favorite has been the Ricky Gervais. I like when you hit with the throwbacks. Like,
oh, you like the throwback interviews? Rosenberg.
I do like the throwback interviews.
Well, I have more of those coming, but I started getting excited and doing new ones. Today, I put up an episode that I recorded last night of literally me just playing random 90s hip-hop on vinyl. Like, I just me sitting in my room. I'm probably going to get shut down at some point for doing this, but I'm just playing 90s vinyl, like 90s records, and talking about the song. So I did that yesterday. So if you want to support your boy, just search for Rosenberg Radio on the podcast app. I'm going to try to find a solution for the Android. But if you go search on your iPhone or in iTunes for Rosenberg Radio, the subscribe to that would be certainly appreciated. And by the way, Greg, to steal some of the Cheap Heat people, I'm gonna put some wrestling interviews up there too that I don't even give to Cheap Heat. How do you like that?
Nice, because you know what, Wrestling with Rosenberg has been going, what would you say, like a decade strong now?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's strong anymore, but I've been doing Wrestling with Rosenberg interviews. You know what I should do, Greg, is put up all the Wrestling with Rosenbergs in Rosenberg Radio, because they've only existed on YouTube. And like, here's a question. Please feel free to tweet me the answer at Rosenberg Radio and at Stat Guy Greg. Are you a listener to Cheap Heat who's never seen any of my Wrestling with Rosenbergs on YouTube? And would you want to hear those interviews in podcast form? Because, Greg, we're talking about friggin'
Vince
everybody.
McMahon. Triple H.
Hogan.
There's a lot.
HBK.
Wrestling with Rosenberg.
I mean, honestly, there's so many, I can't even remember them. The Miz.
It's almost incredible that you were able to get that, like, that level from just, like, just being a fan and just being like, yo, can I interview you? Come through, and then they'll interview. Like, you really did have everybody.
It's a lot. So feel free to tweet us. I'm going to start. If you guys go and subscribe, tell me, tweet me, give me a screenshot of the subscribe to Rosenberg Radio. And if I get 25 people who send me a tweet with the screenshot that they subscribe to Rosenberg Radio, the second I get 25 tweets, that meaning even if it's today, I will upload a couple of Wrestling with Rosenberg interviews so you can have them on the ride to work tomorrow. Because there's gems.
Let me get this right. If you get 25 people.
Yep. Keep going, Greg.
Not a lot.
No, very little.
You will upload more than one Wrestling with Rosenberg throwback interview.
That's right. More than one, Greg. In fact, let me read you I haven't searched on YouTube in dumb long. I do not remember. When people hear this, they're going to go, wait, how many? Wow, it's sad, though. So I just typed it in, and it says Wrestling with Rosenberg Undertaker. That never happened.
No. But you know what?
Here's one. Have you heard of CM Punk?
I remember that guy.
How about Chris Jericho?
Better days for Chris Jericho and Peter Rosenberg.
Oh, God. I don't want heat with Chris Jericho, even though I secretly think he already has it with me. Shawn Michaels, are you familiar? How about Mark Henry? How about The Big Show? Hulk Hogan. Bully Ray. Jesse the Body Ventura. Daniel Bryan. Gail
Kim. Jesse
Body
feels like a major get.
Who?
Jesse the Body.
Well, it's only like 12 minutes, but the bottom line is the reason that's so mage and needs to be in YouTube form, like we talked about Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan and stuff. Rey Mysterio. Jerry the King Lawler. The Bella Twins. Man, there's a lot on here. More CM Punk. Mick Foley. More Chris Jericho. Alberto Del Rio. Brodus Clay. Man, there's a lot.
And honestly, too, like, that Wrestling with Rosenberg Undertaker video is exactly why you need to reformat it and just put it out there for the people, because you got people using your name on YouTube, but they wouldn't get away with that in iTunes. You put it on iTunes, people can find the official. They don't have to worry about, am I being hoodwinked? Is this an ad? Like, what's happening with this? They get the real.
Wow, we just spent a lot of time shilling for old Wrestling with Rosenberg interviews.
That people are going to love, though.
I do think you're right. That is actually something they'd be interested in. So, yeah, do that, and I'll post some. Thank you, SGG. All right, so let's get to this title change. What's your gut reaction to AJ Styles becoming the first WWE champion to win the title in Europe?
Gut reaction is that Jinder Mahal is still my Maharaja.
Okay.
But I'm interested in this AJ Styles Brock Lesnar match. I'm excited to see it. No disrespect to the Maharaja. I think he would have done great in the role, but I understand, you know, people weren't excited to see it. And this is a big four pay-per-view. So if the crowd is not excited.
Is that the word, though? That they just didn't feel people were excited to see.
No,
that?
That's me purely speculating, but I can understand them moving the needle around a little bit, like with this being Survivor Series and with this being a Big Four versus like a Judgment Day or a Backlash or whatever. Like, I can see them staying the course more on those smaller pay-per-views. And, you know, people have called Jinder Mahal an experiment, and I can see them experimenting more on those other pay-per-views than they would on this, what is supposed to be a Big Four pay-per-view. And who knows? Like, the speculation is that he'll get it back in India, which, honestly, I wouldn't be mad at that either, because I feel like that would create a major moment.
When is he working in India?
They have a tour in India. I want to say in December, like early December.
Well, but people are also speculating that this, of course, is the step that will lead to then Nakamura winning the Rumble and Nakamura and AJ at WrestleMania. People getting just what they want. The question is, will WWE just straight up deliver on a platter the match that every wrestling nerd wants? AJ and Nakamura. I'll tell you what, here's how I feel about it. I absolutely love Nakamura winning the Rumble. I mean, that's such a perfect thing for him. Like, that's a perfect accolade for Nakamura to me.
Yeah.
Like, I really love that, how that looks. I have mixed feelings about this happening, particularly because I really didn't want to reward the crowd in Manchester after... They were both in Manchester, right? Raw and SmackDown?
Yep.
The crowd on Monday in Manchester was maybe the worst UK crowd I've ever seen. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say so.
It was awful. Like, they really... It was like they weren't into anything. And granted, it was not a great show on Monday, but still, normally we've become accustomed to the UK crowd making the show, and they got a cool title change and a great match at the end of Raw with the Bar taking the title from the Shield.
They were there for Pete Dunne.
They did. They got excited for Pete Dunne, but it wasn't like lunacy. But I mean, not that it would be for Pete Dunne yet, even though he's the UK champion, but. Honestly, SmackDown was much better. And how would you rate the match?
Between, the Jinder Mahal AJ Styles match?
Yes.
I feel like that match was like a 4-star. A solid... I feel like Jinder Mahal looked great in that match. That was probably his best match from an in-ring standpoint.
Is there any surprise that his best match in ring would come with AJ?
No.
I mean, the man
not
is...
Not at all.
Guys, I'm talking about different levels. It's apples and oranges. Like, who's the next best after AJ in ring in WWE? Like, I just... Like, at this stage in his career, I love Nakamura, and I didn't get to watch a lot of Nakamura's early work. But you wouldn't say at this stage in their careers that Nakamura is on the same level as AJ, would you?
I feel like he hasn't been able to show it, so no.
So you think maybe with AJ we'll get to see what he's still capable of?
Right, and but then again, like, that still would go to AJ. Like,
yep, because AJ does it with everyone.
Being able to bring it out.
Yeah, AJ doesn't need anyone to bring it out. It's with everybody.
And that's the thing, too. Like, when we say, like, who's on AJ's level, I mean, Nakamura works a completely different style that would be really enjoyable and really entertaining, except the style that he's been working in WWE is almost a watered-down version of the style that, you know, brought him to the dance. And when you say, you know, who's next in line for AJ, I feel like there are two answers to that, right? You can go KO, just off of, like, that versatility and, like, that in-ring awareness and being able to have a great match with anybody. And you could go Rollins, just from the in-ring style overall. But AJ is definitely number one, though.
Greg, did we learn that John Cena will be joining Team SmackDown?
No.
Why is it
not?
Why on Wikipedia does it say Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Jason Jordan versus Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and John Cena?
I do not know.
That's made up.
That is. I'm looking at Wikipedia right now, and it says TBA still.
Is there any news story
out
there?
Nope, I refreshed and it said John Cena.
So that just changed?
Yeah, because I had this page up for a while. It said TBA, so now it says John Cena.
Well, there it is. Breaking. John Cena has been named the fifth member of the SmackDown Live men's team at Survivor 11 minutes ago from WWE.
What?
11 minutes ago, WWE put that out. How funny is that? So I'm reading it, and I was like, man, I know I missed a few things in SmackDown last night. Did I miss that? Nope. So one more time. Angle, Strowman, Finn, Joe, Jordan. Against Shane, Randy, Rude, Nakamura, Cena. I got news for you. This is an old school iconic Survivor Series match.
Oh my God.
Oh, vintage SGG. Oh my God. We need a shirt. That, we need
John
oh my God.
Cena. We got breaking news.
Yeah, that's big. That really makes it feel, because look, you can pair it off now, right? Kurt Angle and Shane. Braun Strowman and John Cena. Finn Balor and Nakamura. Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode. And Jason Jordan and Randy Orton. I mean, if you break it off like that, you know, listen, Jason Jordan is clearly the smallest name on this show. Jason Jordan, I guess you put Jason Jordan and Bobby Roode together. But great opportunity for Jason Jordan. Interesting to see what they do with the Kurt Angle story there, if there's a change there. But I'm excited about John Cena being added. What's your initial thought?
Oh, man, I think that makes this pay-per-view huge. Because, I mean, before John Cena being added to the
match, you weren't already excited about Enzo and Kalisto?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be the match of the night for sure. But at least John Cena's role was up in the air, right? We didn't know what he was going to be doing. There was rumors that he was going to be the special guest referee for Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal. And then when that got moved over to Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles, you know, that still left the question of, okay, was John Cena ever the plan? Did the plan change? Could he not make it anymore? So him being in the match
Wow. Now,
you know, makes that match feel bigger than it already did. You know, we were already going to get Kurt and Shane. So, like, to throw John Cena in the mix, along with all those other big names that are already in the mix, makes that match.
This is big.
It's huge.
I'm very, very excited for Survivor Series now. I think they're going to do the job. I think, do we know, I know statistics aren't your thing, Stat Guy Greg, but do you have a stat on whether SmackDown ratings are up a tick at all since they've been promoting Survivor Series?
I do not have anything on that. I feel like the last thing I read, though, is that, like, these UK shows didn't really bump the ratings up that much.
I just wonder whether or not, you know, there would be a bump just because people want to tune into SmackDown. I saw someone the other day who's not, like, a super avid watcher, and he was like, man, I've been finding myself watching SmackDown now because I'm so curious about Survivor Series. And I was like, oh, well, that's what their goal was, obviously, to get people involved in SmackDown and get people excited about a Big Four pay-per-view. Also want to mention, I have heard that this Monday, the Goldberg 24 coming to the network is Mage. I've heard it's really, really good and could actually even kind of change maybe some feelings you have about Goldberg. So that's coming to the network this coming Monday. Working on getting Goldberg on the show next week to talk about it. Hey, Greg, you know what it's time for, right? I don't know if you're ready for it, but it's time for your Black Power Rankings.
And I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black.
SGGZ.
I meant to announce this earlier, but I decided to make a slight change to the Black Power Rankings.
Wow.
Yeah. Week to week, we don't really get enough. You know, the talent isn't showcased enough for a strong five. So sometimes I find myself looking to the announce table for a Booker T or a Byron Saxton or a, you know, look into released wrestlers like Darren Young.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of chatter about Darren Young. Yep.
Yeah, a lot of chatter about Darren Young. So I'm going to put it to you, Rosenberg. What do you think? Should the format change to go instead of from a top five to a top three for the Black Power Rankings? or should the Black Power Rankings include a Brown Power Rankings and be like the Black and Brown Power Rankings and just include other wrestlers?
Well, no, now that the Brown Power Rankings has its own legs, and by the way, I'm glad you mentioned that, there will be no Brown Power Rankings this week. DJ Juanito, in a rare occurrence, has been suspended after his first appearance on the show for sending me a spoiler text about the WWE Championship match.
That's how I heard. He tagged me on Instagram in a spoiler post.
Yep. He tagged you in the post with the spoiler?
Tagged me in a spoiler post.
If I was going to consider changing it, I've reaffirmed the suspension for DJ Juanito. Awful. Awful. And I just argued with him over the weekend. I had told everyone in my Hot 97 group chat, please don't send me results, because I was watching UFC and they sent me the Deontay Wilder fight result. So I had a whole thing about spoilers. And then this guy texts me and he's like, what? I got a WWE alert. I'm like, yeah, but I don't get WWE alerts. You know why I don't get WWE alerts?
Yeah, I don't sign up for those.
Because I don't want spoilers. That's the reason I don't get them. Anyway, so Brown Power Rankings, hopefully we'll be back next week, assuming Juanito doesn't show blatant disrespect to the modern day Juharaja heel Rosenberg over the next week.
I like that.
So anyway, SGG, I think
is going to be three.
I think you're better off doing three than incorporating Juanito's now hugely popular Brown Power Rankings.
This week is going to be three.
But, all right, here we go.
But in the honorable mentions, we got the Black Scorpion, a.k.a. Ric Flair, the huge 30 for 30. We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. It finally aired last night. Beloved across the board. Honorable mention to the 16-time world champion Black Scorpion.
I never thought I'd see Flair in the. He's a very white man to be in the Black Power Rankings. Very, very impressive. Although Snoop did say in the doc that he considers him black, so that's there for him. Very curious though to see what that rating is, and if that rating is huge, curious to see how that impacts the way they treat WWE content on ESPN.
That rating is going to be huge. So I don't know what that means for how they treat WWE content on ESPN, but that rating is definitely going to be huge. Another honorable mention is the Brother Love, short-lived Diddy as Brother Love.
Oh.
We didn't really talk about that too much.
No, I just had Bruce Pritchard on Hot 97 talking trash to Diddy. So that was pretty fun.
That was hilarious. But in at number three, Jason Jordan.
Okay.
He wins a guitar on a pole match and has another mildly entertaining match with Elias, who I think is poised to be like a megastar. He's great. And he wins that match and then finds himself on Team Raw for this, just as we discussed, this major Survivor Series match. So he's in at number three. In at number two is a woman who did something similar, Sasha Banks. She found herself pinning Alicia Fox, winning a tag team match between Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, herself, and Bayley for the team of herself and Bayley, and caused Alicia Fox to get on the mic and say that I want you and I need you on Team Raw.
Yep.
Smack Team Raw's women's team for the Survivor Series match.
Boy did Bayley and Sasha get no pop in Manchester, by the way.
Yeah. They sang that little song for Bayley, but...
Yeah. They did the Bayley song, but when Bayley came out, it's like they just sung for themselves, but they didn't cheer for either of them when they came out. It was very weird. All right, sorry, Greg. At number one.
In a number one, I mean, is there anybody else to put in a number one? It's the New Day. They come out on Raw, and they have a huge hand in that tag team title change that we didn't really talk about.
No, we did not. We did not spend a lot of time on that. Although I do think that's the really big angle. The Bar having the title, taking the titles off the Shield isn't surprising to me. They don't need it. But Greg, when are we going to get the New Day versus the Shield announced for Survivor Series? It's happening, right?
I think it has to happen. Like it makes a lot of sense. And that's the thing. Like this card as it stands now, there's a lot of talent left off the card. There's no Rusev, right? Daniel Bryan, what's his role going to be in all of this? You got New Day and The Shield so far. They haven't had anything announced.
Well, Roman's back on Monday. So yes, we'll get an idea of what's happening. But I'm guessing, come on, man, if you add the New Day versus The Shield, this is officially a really huge Survivor Series. The biggest one in a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no denying that. And that's a match that people, like, because the New Day, they weren't really that hot, if they even were together when The Shield broke up. And, you know, that's definitely been a dream match that people have wanted to see. So.
And the New Day is so good right now. Every time you think they might slow down, like, oh, we're kind of sick of them. They don't have anyone to wrestle. Oh, and then they have a great thing with the Usos. Okay, well, they're done with the Usos. Now what? They're still good. The New Day just keeps rolling, man. And the New Day and The Shield would be a lot of fun. Could maybe turn into more than you bargained for. And I have a hunch it could be so good at Survivor Series that you go, we might want to see more of this. This isn't just a cute one-off. These guys should work.
And it's definitely, like, you hit the nail on the head. Because let's not forget, like, The Shield used to put on these fire six-man tag matches. And since then, the New Day has been filling that void. Although it's been more tag team matches than six-mans, but the three of them know how to work really well together, too. So two teams who have such great chemistry, you know, within each other, like working together.
You never know.
It almost can't miss.
SGG, that was a fine Black Power Rankings. I got to go. I'm off to Tokyo tomorrow. I got to go get healthy because I've been fighting a cold that I really need to finish off here. I need to beat it because I leave for Tokyo in the morning for a few days. Hopefully on social media, on Rosenberg Radio, I will post some cool wrestling stuff that I see when I'm there. I usually see something, at least like a cool flyer or like something. Again, I'll be looking for those tweets with the screenshots of subscribing to Rosenberg Radio, and then I'll get up some wrestling with Rosenberg interviews. Greg, you did a fine job today.
Well, thank you.
And I'd also like to remind you to stay mage.
Always.
And also, while you're staying mage, please always stay #withalife.